Birthing from the Inside Out is a place where we gather to talk about how pregnancy and birth transform us. I'm your host, Shannon Backus, certified birth doula and childbirth educator for over 10 years. I hope you'll grab a cup of coffee and join us for fun, gritty, and educational conversations all about birth. From detailed birth stories to insights from birth professionals and birth-related services, each episode will help you evaluate just how transformed by birth you've been from the inside out. Disclaimer, this podcast does not provide medical advice or diagnoses. All content is for educational purposes only. Seek the advice and recommendations of your medical practitioner. On today's episode, I have the honor to chat with Ashley, who shares her incredibly empowering story of giving birth to twins. Ashley is a mom and midwife whose practice has now changed because of the experience and empowerment she felt during her pregnancy, labor, and birth of the twins. Join me as we chat about how her own experience not only transformed her, but how it's also transformed her practice as a provider from the inside out.
Now that I have experienced it, I feel like I can give a different sort of care and I can advocate differently for my clients. And it's just a whole different level for me. I am just so thankful, although it was hard, I'm just so thankful for the experience I went through, because as a provider now, I can just really use that as a tool to give women better experiences and better information and better support.
I'm so glad that you're with us today. On the show today, I have Ashley, who is here to share with us her birth story of having twins and also her role as a midwife. Ashley, thanks so much for coming on the show today.
Thanks for having me, Shannon. I'm excited to be here.
Would you just begin by telling us a little bit about yourself and what you do in the world?
I am married to my husband, Brock. We will be married 5 years this October. When I married Brock, he came as a package deal. So He has 2 children from a previous marriage, Jackson, who is now 10, and Jaden, who is 9. So I've got to play that stepmom role before I became a mother. Mm-hmm. So that has been a unique experience for me. And then we had always planned to have 1 child together. And we prayed really, really hard for that 1 child, and we got twins. So we also have 19-month-old twin girls. They're identical twins. Avery and Logan are their names. And then professionally, I worked as a registered nurse for 8 years in a community hospital in labor and delivery, and really found the need for more midwifery-led care in our community. So I was drawn to that work and went back to school for my master's degree. So I am an advanced practice nurse, and then I sat for a certification for midwifery. So I am a certified nurse midwife. I have been working in that role now for 4 years. I was very lucky. A few months after graduation, I was offered a position at our local freestanding birth center. So that has been a wonderful career opportunity for me. And I get to really practice and provide care for women the way that I want to. A lot of independence, and it's been great.
I just want to commend you and thank you for filling the role that you're filling, Ashley, in the birth world. And like you were saying, you know, you saw the behind the scenes of the work in your local hospital and just recognizing that need for maternal health care. And so thank you for all the sacrifices that you have made to get to this point and to serve women and to provide that care that you saw we needed in our community.
Yeah, absolutely. There's no better job in the world, I would say. It's hard to call it a job.
Take us back to your pregnancy with the twins. Tell us what it was like to find out you were having twins. How did you even find out you were having twins?
So we found out at our first ultrasound we were having twins, I think around somewhere between 6 and 8 weeks. I don't really remember. But I just remember praying that there was going to be a heartbeat. Mm-hmm. And when I was told there were 2 heartbeats, I immediately started crying. I just remember being completely shocked. My husband was much more calm about it. He laughed a lot about it. I think he was probably doing that for my benefit. But, you know, as a midwife, I feel like twin pregnancies and births are a variation of normal. However, I do know there are some added risks involved with multiple gestations. So, you know, I had a lot of fears going into this as far as preterm labor and birth. I was nervous about gestational diabetes and preeclampsia. These are all things that could, you know, potentially be risks with multiple gestations. My pregnancy, you know, starting out, I had a lot of fear as far as birth setting, where I was going to go, what I was going to do. So my very good friend, colleague, Amy, she is a midwife that I've worked with for many years. You know, I called her pretty tearful and she said, you know, we're going to figure this out. We'll work this through. We'll talk things through. So she contacted a collaborating physician that we work with, who I trust a lot, to kind of co-manage care with me. So he was very open to managing me along with Amy seeing me as well. So that put me at a lot of ease to know that I could still have some midwifery-led care. My girls are identical, but it's unique in the fact that they were dichorionic, diamniotic, meaning they each had their own stack of water and they each had their own placenta. So in twin world, that is kind of your best case scenario as far as pregnancies go and birth as far as the risks. So that was, you know, a good starting point for me. Early on, Amy told me, you can only control the things, makes me tear up. Mm-hmm. You can only control the things that you can control. What that meant for me was just making sure I was taking very good care of myself. I stayed active. I was very good with my nutrition, my vitamins, doing all the things. So I had a really great pregnancy with the girls. I felt great through almost all of it. I worked up until the very end. I think I caught a baby like 4 or 5 days before I had the girls. So everything went pretty smoothly. My biggest fear was preterm labor and preterm birth, because mm-hmm. I know the stress that the, you know, parents go through that have babies in the NICU, and the stress of being on bed rest. I mean, these things were just big fears of mine. And I was very, very, very lucky that none of that happened. I started having a lot of like lower extremity swelling in my third trimester. So I would say around week like 29 or 30 is when I really noticed it. So I was monitoring blood pressures at home. When I was at work, Amy would take blood pressures for me too, and things were looking really normal. So no concerns with that. I was alternating visits at the end of my pregnancy between the physician that I was seeing and my midwife, Amy. So they were both kind of checking me over. Things were looking good. As I got into, I remember like week 37, I was really excited to get to that point because that was full mm-hmm. term. I was feeling really proud that we had made it that far. Mm-hmm. And I was still working and still feeling great, minus the swelling that I was having. And the physician at that appointment, when he dipped my urine, there was some protein in there. So I knew, okay, things are probably trending that way as far as, you know, preeclampsia. So I was a little bit concerned about that. And I remember bringing Amy with me to my next visit to see him so we could really talk through a plan and talk through things. So I was approaching that 38 week mark at that point. My blood pressures were starting to creep up. They were not like, you know, diagnostic of hypertension or diagnostic of preeclampsia yet. But they were trending upwards. So it was definitely something we were keeping an eye on with all the extra swelling that I was having as well. I did have a couple extra ultrasounds than I would have normally had I not had a twin gestation, but the girls were looking good. Oh, mm-hmm. I also did not know they were girls at the time. We did not find out what we were having until they were born. So the babies were looking really good, growing well. There were no concerns when it came to their growth and their well-being. So that was always very reassuring to me. I remember having to do a 24-hour urine collection and then turning that in. At that point, the protein in my urine was really starting to rise, but not to a scary level, but definitely talking with the physician, talking with Amy, we were like, okay, at this point, we probably need to start kind of talking about what we're going to do going forward. It's probably time to talk about induction.
Ashley, I was going to ask if you can give our listeners a little window into what preeclampsia is and what it means when your protein, when you start to find protein in the urine. Can you give us a little glimpse into what that might mean for a pregnancy or for the mama?
Preeclampsia, you know, there are risk factors to having it. And sometimes it just happens. And so your blood pressure can raise. Sometimes it doesn't. There's different forms of pregnancy-induced hypertension or preeclampsia. But with protein in your urine, that just kind of shows that your kidneys are starting to become affected by the different processes that are going on with preeclampsia. So there's blood work we would draw. Your liver is affected as well. So liver enzymes would start to creep up if we're looking at preeclampsia labs. So protein in the urine, and then those liver enzymes, and then your blood pressure. So those are the three things that we're really concentrating on and looking at. And so I knew that as a provider that things were trending upward in my situation for sure.
Thanks for clarifying that for us. Sometimes, you know, people who are listening, you know, aren't always aware of what certain terms mean. So thank you for sharing that information.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. So we discussed the induction. My physician I was seeing, he was very reasonable. He was very patient with me. He knew this is not what I had planned. I very much wanted a natural birth. I wanted to go into labor on my own if at all possible. But I also knew the reality of the situation that I had two babies and not one baby. So things were going to be a little bit different for me. And the preeclampsia, you know, possibly starting was definitely something needed to be done. So this was on a Monday that we discussed this, I believe. And he wanted me to go to the hospital on Wednesday. He's like, I'll give you, you know, today and tomorrow. And then he wanted to do a cervidil induction. So that is where they put a little, it's a medication, but it's like wrapped around your cervix to help soften the cervix and just get your body prepared for labor. A lot of times you would follow that up with Pitocin as well. So really it was a cervical ripening agent. So I was okay with that. We talked to him about doing midwife's brew, different things we could do naturally with castor oil. And he was okay with anything that we saw fit. You know, he trusts Amy and myself to make that decision. So Amy and I, the next day, I think that was Tuesday, my husband and I went to the birth center for an appointment with her. She checked my cervix. That was the first cervical check I had had. And I was closed. My cervix was closed. It was very thick. It was very high. So not the greatest start for an induction. Mm-hmm. So she was not able to do a membrane sweep. We had talked about doing a membrane sweep. Just kind of a cervical massage is kind of all she could do. And then I had planned to take the midwife's brew that day. You know, I was hoping that would possibly get my cervix a little more ready for this induction that I was preparing for the next day. So I went home. This is in November. My husband is a huge hunter. Mm-hmm. So I said, you know what, go ahead and go hunt. This is probably your last hunt you're going to get, just about 10 minutes away from our house. And I said, I'm going to drink the midwife's brew. I'm going to take a nap. And I mean, probably not a whole lot's going to happen, but I'll call you if anything changes. So that was kind of our plan. So I drank the midwife's brew. I laid down. I immediately started having contractions.
Wow.
I was like, oh, I'm very surprised. I mean, it was immediate. Usually it doesn't work that quickly. And nothing terrible. You know, they were very mild. I was able to lay down on my side and I knew they were there, but I wasn't at all timing them or anything yet. Along with the castor oil comes a lot of side effects. So I definitely had a lot of the castor oil side effects. So I was running to the bathroom quite a bit. And then about, I would say 2 hours after drinking the midwife's brew, I was on the toilet and I felt a pop and my water broke. So that was surprising as well. Of course, immediately after my water breaking, the contractions became a lot stronger. So at that point, I called my husband and I was like, you don't have to rush home, but my water did break. And I had a lot of bloody show happening. And like, I think things are kind of moving. And he's like, really? So he raced home quickly. I updated Amy and I said, my water broke, my fluid's clear. I have a lot of bloody show. And she said, you're sure it's your fluid? And I'm like, I think so. Like I have a Depend diaper on and it just keeps coming. Mm-hmm. And our husbands have joked, like, why is it when it's one of you guys just stop being midwives?
Yes.
Like, yeah, we just, it's so different when it's you, or, you know, I don't know. It's funny. We triage women all day, every day, but when it's you, it's so different. So once my husband got home in about, you know, 10 minutes or so, and by the time he got home, I was pacing. My contractions were coming quick. Again, I wasn't timing them, but they were coming quick. And they were getting stronger and stronger pretty quickly. So we have a pretty good sized bathtub at home. I got into the bath. It was really hard to get comfortable because our bath isn't that big, but tried the shower. Again, I think I was just doing a lot of pacing. My husband was in contact with Amy and we kind of made a plan to meet at the birth center to evaluate things. There's big tubs at the birth center. So we were going to labor over there for a little bit before heading to the hospital. So we met at the birth center. That was a tough ride over there. So by the time I got to the birth center, it's about a 30-minute drive for us. I was very uncomfortable, really breathing through contractions. And then I also had a birth photographer. She came as well. So I labored in the tub at the birth center for a bit. I was really back and forth. I loved the toilet. One really surprising thing about labor was I am a very touchy, hands-on person. I love to be hugged and I love physical touch. And Amy knew that and tried to do some hip squeezes. And I remember saying, oh, I don't want you to touch me. I can't believe it, but I don't want any touch. Like, which was so strange for me. But yeah, I did not like touch at all. The contractions, Amy was timing them. And I kind of remember her mentioning, she's like, they're coming like every minute and a half. They're lasting, you know, a long time. You're not getting any break. And I'm like, I don't feel like I'm getting a break. I was getting kind of tearful. We were several hours into labor, but I didn't feel like it was quite active yet. It felt early, but just so painful. And I'm just like, this just isn't, I just can't, I don't want to do this. Like, if it's so early, I remember I asked for a cervical exam. She asked me, do you want to know the number? Like, I guess. where are we at? And I think she had said, you know, I think I was maybe 3 centimeters at that point. I'm like, I don't want to do this. Like, I want to go to the hospital. I know how long it takes to get the epidural. So my husband was, you know, he's like, are you sure this is what you want to do? It was not my intention to get an epidural, but also not completely off the table because I just knew things would be a little bit different. But I said, yeah, I'm sure I want the epidural. If the contractions are going to come this quick and this strong, I'm not getting a break. I want one. So we went to the hospital, Brock drove, and Amy was in the very back of our SUV and I was on hands and knees. And my husband was kind of driving like a maniac. Looking back now, it's very funny because he just wanted to get me there quickly. But he, at one point, kind of came to an abrupt stop and I flew forward and Amy's trying not to laugh. It's not funny at the time, but looking back, it's pretty funny. I'm sure that was quite the scene. So we got to the hospital. I remember immediately the charge nurse wanting to triage me. And Amy saying, oh, absolutely not. She's in labor. Her water's broke. I've already contacted the physician. Like, she wants an epidural. Let's get her in and admitted. Like, we're not triaging her. So that was helpful to have her advocate for me. So I wasn't having to sit and triage and get looked over and checked again and all these things that probably didn't need to be done. So it did take quite a while to get that epidural. I think I was there maybe 2.5 hours before we were able to get it because a lot of labs need to be drawn. They had to start an IV. They had trouble getting an IV on me.
And were your contractions continuing to come at that, you know, 1.5, 2 minutes apart?
They were. Yeah. Yeah. They were coming very, very quickly still and just hard to manage. Of course, they wanted to get a monitor strip on me in the hospital. So that was hard. I couldn't stay still. I was out of the bed and kind of walking around in that area that I could with being hooked up to the monitor, hooked up to the IV, you know, we're immediately. And then I'm thinking in my head, these are all the things I didn't want, but I want that epidural. I understand these things kind of need to be done. So got the epidural and it took a few sticks, I remember. And then I was comfortable pretty much immediately, you know, just feeling pressure when I had contractions. I was not feeling pain anymore. So that was great. I have a really great picture of Amy and I snuggling in bed with a big smile on my face once I had the epidural in place. I had the chance to rest. So at that point, it was, I don't know, maybe midnight, 1 in the morning. It was pretty into the middle of the night. So the plan was that I would kind of sleep and see where we were at in the morning, unless things changed before then. Things start to get kind of fuzzy. It's funny. I remember the physician, he came in early in the morning, maybe around 5 or 6 a.m. And he wanted to kind of know where I was at cervical dilation wise. Because this was several hours later. So Amy checked me and I had not made a whole lot of change, which was frustrating because I was still continuing to have pretty frequent contractions. But intensity wise, we weren't quite sure where we were at because I wasn't feeling them so much anymore. And so we talked about putting in an IUPC, so an intrauterine pressure catheter, to see how strong they were. So with that external monitor, you're not able to see the strength of the contractions. You can just see that you're having them. So this catheter is inserted, just kind of a piece of straight plastic that just kind of lays right against the baby. And I was okay with doing that because I was curious as well, like the strength of these contractions and what was going on. Once we put that in, we were seeing they weren't really very strong. And so we talked about Pitocin. I was okay with that. At this point, my water had been broke, probably running on 18 hours or so. At the hospital, their policy is to start antibiotics, IV, at that point. I did not want that. I declined the IV antibiotics. Because I was not showing any signs of infection, my group beta strep was negative, my fluid was clear, I just did not feel like it was necessary. So I had Amy talk with them about possibly considering talking about this more closer to 24 to 36 hours of, you know, my membranes being ruptured, and the physician was okay with that. That was reasonable to them. So we held off on that. We started Pitocin. So through early morning into the late afternoon, we did Pitocin. It was being increased and not a whole lot was happening with my contractions. Even with all of this Pitocin going on. So the physician came in and talked with us some more. Again, Amy was there with me. That birth photographer never left my side either. She's also a doula, although I didn't hire her for that role, but she of course didn't leave me, which is so sweet of her. So we're all chatting and Amy makes the suggestion of, how about we shut the epidural off, we shut the Pitocin off, we give her a break, and then we restart everything. And he was okay with that. And I thought that was a good plan. Let's do that. He's like, eat some lunch. So that was great. We turned everything off. I was able to eat some lunch and just kind of, you know, I wasn't quite able to get up yet just because I wasn't able to feel much. The epidural catheter was still in place, but they had turned off the medication. And then several hours into it, I remember Amy was exhausted. She had been up. I mean, it was hard for her to sleep because she was just, you know, as a midwife, I understand, especially when it's someone you're very close with. So I, you know, we were like, okay, you go take a nap. We'll try to take another nap. My husband was pretty tired at this point too.
Have you enjoyed listening to Birthing from the Inside Out podcast? By now, we all know about the algorithm. By leaving your ratings and reviews on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and Google Podcasts, you'll help other people just like you find the show. Birth transforms us all from the inside out. So by simply following, rating, and reviewing, you'll be helping other families have positive transformational experiences as they carry these stories into their births. Let's take a moment to hear from our sponsor.
Dr. Allison Wiener is the owner and primary dentist at Gentle Family Dentistry. She's been providing quality dental care for all ages in the Bloomington Normal community for the past 14 years. Although general dentistry is at the core of what she offers, she has always had a special place in her heart for her littlest patients. Did you know that a small percentage of babies are born with what is called a tongue or lip tie? This can negatively affect feeding for both the baby and the parent. At Gentle Family Dentistry, Dr. Wiener takes pride in the careful assessment of not only baby, but mom too, if she's nursing, and considers the whole feeding journey before diagnosing and performing specialized lip and tongue tie procedures. Dr. Wiener is fully certified by the American Academy of Laser Dentistry and has invested countless hours studying tethered oral tissues and frenectomy procedures, which have the potential to significantly improve the experience of breastfeeding or bottle feeding for both mother and baby. On a personal level, she's also a caring and hardworking mom of three girls who she was fortunate enough to breastfeed. In fact, her middle daughter had to have a lip and tongue frenectomy, which she attributes to her catalyst in learning to provide this service at her office. For more information, please find Gentle Family Dentistry at bndentist.com or follow Gentle Family Dentistry on social media. Again, that's bndentist.com.
The contractions were starting to come back.
And because the epidural was turned off, were you able to feel those contractions coming back?
I was. They weren't quite as painful as they were, you know, when I had first experienced them. So they were tolerable enough at that point. So Amy was asleep. And at that point, the nursing staff had kind of changed over. So I had a new nurse taking care of me. She was also training another, a new nurse. And I had asked to get up to go to the bathroom. I just felt like I would do better sitting on the toilet. And she had kind of said, no, you can't get up. So that was hard. I really wanted to get up, but you're just so vulnerable. You're so vulnerable in that position. I hadn't slept in so long. Things were, you know, I didn't want to bother Amy because she hadn't slept, which now she's like, you should have called me. But I couldn't get up. I think we had restarted the Pitocin as well. Things were getting hard again. So I did request for them to restart the epidural a few hours into that. We did. And then I can't remember if I had another cervical exam or not. I think I did. And I think I was not much progress, maybe 4 to 5 centimeters at that point. So we decided to restart the Pitocin. I did end up asking for the epidural to be restarted. I didn't get a whole lot of rest that night. So at this point, we're going into the second night. Didn't get a whole lot of rest because the epidural wasn't working quite as great as before. And I was starting to get just a little bit concerned about the fact that these contractions weren't stronger and we were pretty heavy up on the Pitocin. I was happy, you know, my babies looked great on the monitor through all of this. So that was very reassuring for me. So we went through this whole night. I'm trying to rest off and on. Amy was in and out. She definitely could not sleep. She was trying to update some family of mine and that were trying not to bother me. I know my mom was very worried. And so she was trying to update her and put her mind at ease a little bit. That morning early, I want to say like 4 or 5 in the morning, the nurse came in and she said, I talked with the physician and he wants a cervical check done. So to kind of see where we're at to make a plan. So I said, okay. She checked me. I think she said I was like 5 to 6 centimeters. So at this point, my water had been broke for 38-ish hours or so, and not a whole lot of progress from when I came in. Contractions weren't getting any stronger. I think we kind of talked through this with the physician when he came. He came in about 30 or 45 minutes later, and he said, you know, your uterus is just so distended with having two babies. And so it's just making ineffective contractions at this point. Like, we just can't get your contractions any stronger. And I did really feel like he had listened to me. We had done all the things we could. I was exhausted. I was drained physically, emotionally. And he, at that point, decided to talk to me about C-section. And I was very, very disappointed about that. But at that point, I was kind of at peace with that decision because I did feel like we had really done as much as we could. We gave it a lot of time. He was very patient with me. Amy had advocated heavily for me as far as giving me time and keeping kind of people kind of out of my room and just giving me that peace. I did ask for Amy to do a cervical exam. Not that I thought the RN didn't know, but I just wanted to know. So she checked me and agreed with the exam, which I wasn't surprised, but just needed that peace of mind going into a C-section that she felt that the change hadn't been very significant either, since she had been the one assessing my cervix this whole time. Getting prepped, getting ready for the C-section, a lot of people come in. The charge nurse came in and she's trying to explain to me kind of what's going to happen with the babies. And she's telling me the neonatologist is going to be back there. He's going to take the babies, assess the babies. I immediately just started kind of breaking down. I was really upset because I'm like, no. These babies have looked absolutely perfect on the monitor. These are full-term babies. At this point, I'm 38 weeks and 5 days with twins. I see no reason why these babies have to be whisked away from me if they come out vigorous and crying. And she said, that's just how we do things. This is how, you know, we're going to weigh them. We're going to measure them. And Amy stepped in at this point and she very heavily advocated for me. She asked the charge nurse to step outside. This all, you know, I heard this whole story after the fact. She was like, these babies are, you know, going to be with her. She wants some skin to skin. We don't need to do weights and measurements. These are full-term babies. We've had no issues. This is not an emergency by any means. I just think we need to be reasonable that she can have these babies skin to skin with her. She kept trying to tell Amy that, well, it's not safe because her arms are going to be tied down. So Amy was kind of like, why can't we untie her arms so she can hold her babies? If she feels that she's stable, I'll be there. Her husband will be there with her. So I should also back up to all of this. So Amy also, when we found out I was having twins, she also obtained privileges at the hospital. So that is the reason she was able to be there with me, because this is 2021. So there's a lot of COVID precautions in place and I could only have one support person, but she did obtain privileges. So the plan was for her to catch my babies because she had obtained these privileges. So she was able to come back to the C-section room with me as well as my husband. So she had said, you know, I'm going to be back there. Her husband's going to be back there. You know, we'll be able to help her. And it was very emotional just because this meant a lot for Amy as my friend and my colleague. I mean, we've been together for a decade. And she knew how strongly, you know, my biggest fear going into all of this was to be separated from my babies. That's why preterm labor and preterm birth and all of that was so scary for me, because if nothing else, I wanted these babies to be healthy and I wanted them with me. That was my huge important goal. The charge nurse did eventually agree to that. So once we got back and were ready to do the C-section, the neonatologist was back there. But when the babies were born, they did come, obviously the physician had to put them in the warmer quickly just because of the sterile environment. The neonatologist kind of did a really quick assessment on them. They came out crying, so they got to come right to me. So that was wonderful. Like I said, we didn't know if we were having boys or girls, so that was a really fun moment. The physician knew that I wanted my husband to kind of announce what we had, and I just very vividly remember the room getting really quiet and looking at this baby, this screaming baby that came up, and my husband telling me it's a girl and that it's another girl.
Yeah.
So that was just so special to have that moment. So the girls did, you know, they were skin to skin with me. They did not get weighed or measured. So I got to have that moment. They were very awake and alert. I just remember like looking into their eyes and they were good sizes. They looked great and healthy and pink and beautiful and perfect. And I was just so, so thankful that we had made it. Breastfeeding wise, you know, I got to go back. They took me back to recovery. Amy helped me get the babies latched on. They were latching on good. And then they stayed and roomed in with me all day, all night. They never left my side just like I wanted. I was feeling pretty good. I didn't feel the need for any pain medication or anything. I was sore. I was tired, but otherwise I felt pretty good. I was extremely swollen at this point. So I had mentioned how I, with the impending preeclampsia, I was having a lot of swelling at the end of pregnancy. I was very swollen afterwards just because of all the extra fluids and Pitocin on board. But other than that, I was feeling okay. So I got to go home the next day, but the neonatology staff were great with me. They're like, we know you're a nurse practitioner, you'll recognize abnormals. And so they were great. So they knew I knew when to take my babies in if something was wrong. I felt comfortable with that. So we took the babies home. I did recognize pretty early on that breastfeeding wasn't going great. So when we got home, I was feeling like they were not satisfied with feeding, even though they were latching on. They were just crying a whole lot. So I needed extra support with that. I went for an appointment with our wonderful, wonderful lactation consultant at the birth center, who we did weighed feedings and found they were not getting quite enough milk. So that was a whole nother journey in itself. But at the time she said, let's take your blood pressure because you had some trending high blood pressures. I was like, oh yeah, but they were fine in the hospital. But so I was probably four days postpartum at this point, feeling pretty good besides being really, really tired with two newborns. And she took my blood pressure and it was 150s over 90s or something like that. So she kind of updated Amy on this. And Amy's like, why don't you draw some labs and send her urine, check that for protein and whatnot. So the next day those came back really elevated. So Amy called me and said, hey, these labs came back and they're super elevated. Can you take your blood pressure at home? So I did on the automatic cuff and it was like 170s over 110. So that is like severe range, really, really high. So she came over, took a manual blood pressure to confirm it. And it was in fact that high, which is pretty scary. So she contacted the physician and so he called me and he's like, oh, you know, Ashley, that you need to be readmitted and we need to get you on some magnesium. And boy, was that hard. That was so hard. So about a week postpartum, I got readmitted. I was able, you know, my husband, of course, came with me. We were able to bring the babies with us. But I was, you know, anyone that's been on magnesium knows that this just makes you feel completely out of it. I felt terrible. I could hardly hold the babies to nurse them. So, you know, my husband was like trying to help with that. I was also pumping, trying to increase my milk supply and just trying to like have the energy to pump it's just crazy how awful I felt. So I was there for about, a little over 24 hours or so on the magnesium. They had given me lots of IV drugs to get my blood pressure down. It finally did come down. I did end up going home on blood pressure medication. So that was 3 times a day I was taking blood pressure medication at a pretty high dose, which is quite a bit. My postpartum experience was, you know, I had this great pregnancy. My birth wasn't how I planned per se, but I felt very at peace with it because I felt like I had been given a lot of choices and I had a really good support system. Postpartum, on the other hand, I had a great support. I mean, most of my friends are midwives, they're nurses or they're lactation consultants. So to say I had, you know, support is an understatement. I had so many people coming in and checking on us, bringing us meals, helping me with breastfeeding. We did have to use some donor breast milk as well. So, you know, people were helping me find donors to give me breast milk. So I did actually that first whole year, we had to use donor milk. I ended up producing enough milk for one baby. So I had to get that other half from donor milk. So we did make it a whole year with exclusively feeding breast milk, which was huge for me. Breastfeeding was so hard and two babies who did not sleep. That was so hard. So it had a lot of challenges involved. I think, you know, looking back, I definitely had a lot of postpartum anxiety, a lot of postpartum OCD. I was kind of obsessively tracking ounces that I was pumping. I was extremely particular about how things were done with the baby, how much they were sleeping. I was just very like, just always kind of frantic about these things, you know, looking back. now that the fog has kind of lifted. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm 19 months in now, so now the fog is starting to kind of lift, and I'm feeling more of myself. You know, you can kind of look back and see those things.
Ashley, how did the birth of these twins, how did that transform you?
So it definitely showed me what my body is capable of. I am just so proud of being able to carry these babies, had these healthy babies. My body did that. I produced breast milk as much as I possibly could for a whole year. And that was a huge goal of mine. And it was really hard, but my body helped me and pulled through and we did it. So it has just made me feel like I can do a whole lot more than I ever thought I could. So when I am having tough times, because now I have toddlers that, you know, two toddlers that are running around, and there's tough days, and it definitely makes me think I got through all of that. Mm-hmm. You know, we made it through that labor and birth and first year of breastfeeding and postpartum, and we did it, and I can do anything. I just feel like my everyday life has definitely changed, and the fact that I feel a lot more confident being able to do hard things, and I have a whole nother respect for my body. You know, I haven't always had a good relationship with my body and body image. So I think that really helped me to just see my body as something that is strong and capable. So yeah, I think it transformed me a lot in my thoughts and my everyday life.
What pulled you through or inspired you through the transformative experience of having the twins?
I think the biggest takeaway when I look back was my support. I had built an amazing support team with, you know, having Amy by my side and having, you know, my friends. I have a really good group of friends and their support is just unmatched. So like I said, physical support, they were bringing me meals, making sure we were taken care of, making sure I was getting naps in and showers in and postpartum. Having the support I had during my labor and birth, even, you know, all throughout my pregnancy, having Amy she advocated for me extremely through all of that. So that just, you know, helped transform that whole situation into something that, you know, maybe it would have gone a different way had I not had that support in place. So yeah, I just think that my support system pulled me through so much.
And how does the transformation affect your life now, personally, even as a midwife? What does that look like in your life, in your real life right now?
Yeah, so I think I always say now that there's the midwife Ashley before I went through this experience, and there's the midwife Ashley after this experience. And, you know, I always advocated for women. I always have had such a strong sense of, you know, wanting to give women their desires and meet their goals and walk with them through these experiences that they have. But going through it myself now and the challenges that I face, it is just unmatched how I feel like I can care for other women now that are also experiencing challenges. Even women that, you know, aren't having challenges and they're having a pretty normal textbook birth. I mean, I understand the pain, the emotions, physical and emotional that go into labor and birth. I mean, it's just indescribable. It's hard to put those feelings into words. So now that I have experienced it, I feel like I can give a different sort of care and I can advocate differently for my clients. And it's just a whole different level for me. I am just so thankful for, although it was hard, I'm just so thankful for the experience I went through, because as a provider now, I can just really use that as a tool to give women better experiences and better information and better support.
You've shared with us many things that you've loved about your birth experience. What's one thing that sticks out that you just really loved about the whole experience?
My absolute favorite moment, I think I probably already mentioned it, was when the room got silent and my husband announced the gender of our babies, that we were having a girl and another girl. Having my baby placed skin to skin with me right away was just something I could never, ever describe. I was so fearful that I would not get to have that because I was so scared of them, you know, being born early or, you know, there being complications. And so having that skin-to-skin contact right away and having them with me. I mean, those were just the strongest moments that stick out as my favorite in my mind.
As we wrap up our time together today, Ashley, what's one thing that you wish you knew or that you want expectant families to know before they give birth?
I give this advice a lot, but education and advocating for yourself. So I did have to, you know, I am a provider, but I did have to educate myself quite a bit on what was going on with having a multiple gestation pregnancy. It's not something that I have a ton of experience with. It's not something that we do at the birth center. So I had to do a lot of research and I had to really talk through things, ask a lot of questions. So expectant families, I think the best thing you can do for your journey is to ask all the questions, educate yourself. And one of the biggest things I did for myself was get that birth team in place of people that I trusted. So if that means that you are at the end of your pregnancy and you are doing research and you're not feeling comfortable with your provider or your birth team anymore or your birth location, then you make the switch, you know, 100%. So I just think it's so important to make sure you know that you have the right people in place, you're at the right place, and that you have all the information. Because we can't make educated, informed decisions if we don't know the information. Mm-hmm. So empower yourself by educating yourself. That's my greatest advice for sure.
Ashley, I really appreciate you taking time out of your day to share your birth story and to just share all the ways that birth has transformed you from the inside out. And for our listeners, we'll see you right back here in 2 weeks for more transformative conversations.
I love how powerful stories are in our lives, how much they can change a person. How our stories tell others about who we are and where we are headed. And not just how much those stories can change us, but also change the trajectory of our lives. Thank you for spending time in your day to dive deep into stories of how birth has transformed all of us from the inside out.